God spoke to Paul. What qualifies a person for that? Do you remember the conversion of Saul? Right? And eventually they start calling him Paul. It doesn't say that God changed his name. It actually is that he is Saul, but when he goes to Greek people, he gives them this Paulos, something they can identify. Right? So in Acts chapter 9, if you're in Acts 20, you could tip over there if you want, but we won't spend a lot of time there. In Acts chapter 9, remember he fell to the ground and he heard a voice saying to him, Saul, Saul, why are you persecuting me? And in verse 5, he said, who are you, Lord? So there's a crazy man on the floor talking to a voice, okay? Who are you, Lord? I mean, I don't think he's a crazy man, but does it appear crazy to other people? Then again, if you heard the voice that Paul heard and he talks back to it, everybody's having a bit of an exceptional experience that day, aren't they? The voice says in verse 5, the second half of it, he said, I am Jesus whom you are persecuting. How about that? Jesus is dead, risen, right? Ascended to heaven, no longer in the world. Paul is doing what he's doing, and Jesus says, you are persecuting me. Because that is how much God identifies with you, the body of Christ. Whatever happens to you happens to him. And he comes to Paul and he says, they're with me. You want them? You got to go through me. Do you ever hear that from one of those movies, one of those Goodfellas movies or something, you know? But rise and enter the city in verse 6 of chapter 9, and you will be told what you are to do. And the men who were traveling with him stood speechless, gobsmacked, hearing the voice, but seeing no one. So Paul hears from Jesus directly. Did I just back it up with another story from a different place in Scripture and for you to consider? Is that fair? So I wasn't being wispy. This is a concept that's confirmed by Scripture. But not Saul only. What about Ananias, right? Ananias in a vision, you know, but dreams, visions, prophetic scriptures, audible voices. The Bible teaches that God speaks. Listen to that. Will you listen to that? The Bible teaches that God speaks. Hear from God. Hear from God and don't act like, oh, that's what those charismatics do. Because charis, the grace of God, is what makes a charismatic. And if you ain't, then are you at all? I'm not saying you have to swing from the chandeliers like people who say, oh, we are that type of church. We do that type of thing. But you need to hear from God. I better be hearing from God, or else why stand here? You don't need a book report on the Bible. You need the prophetic word made sure and motivation to walk in it. Hear from God. And it works, and it's going to work, and there's relief in it, and there's guidance. And in Acts chapter 9, verse 11, the Lord said to Ananias, rise and go to the street called Straight. And at the house of Judas, look for a man of Tarsus named Saul. For behold, he is praying. Prayer, the true sign of discipleship. Can you say that? Ananias, go to Paul. He's a Christian now. How do you know? He's a dangerous killer. He's praying. Prayer, the true sign of discipleship. Hearing from God, talking to God, because he's real, because he cares, and he wants your attention, and he communes with you and with me. This is important. Prayer, the place of hearing from God, receiving directly from God true communication. Wow. I want that. I need that. I need to be sure that it's happening and not just, I guess there's nothing left to do but pray now, right? That's what they do in the movies. It irks me. Each time in the book of Revelation, the seven letters to the churches end with this phrase, he who has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says to the churches. That's us. That's them.